there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My guest today is reality TV royalty. He's charmed us on Strictly with his tango, and he's flying Alan Eyre today. His podcast, Private Parts, is absolutely brilliant, and I've been a guest on it, so I know. Please welcome on board my passenger today. It's Jamie Lang.
This is the final boarding call for Jamie Lang. I repeat, this is the final boarding call. That's Jamie Lang. Thank you.
Jamie, welcome aboard Alan Eyre.
Thank you, Alan, for having me.
Oh, so listen, let's talk. What's this new dancing show you're doing?
So it's basically where we get 5 sexy dancers into a house and then 15 sexy rookies come into the room who basically aren't dancers, but they know a little bit about dance, and then they couple up and they dance together, and it's love and dance and sexiness and funness.
Oh.
Yeah, and obviously because I'm really good at dancing.
Hello.
Yeah, yes. Hello. This is where it's now happening. So I don't know. It's one of these shows which is going to be really fun. It's BBC Three. We're shooting it soon, and hopefully it'll be really good. I don't know.
Oh, it will be good.
I think it'll be good. Yeah, because also, I feel like people haven't had enough of dating shows. So I feel like this is revolutionary and it's going to be completely different and fun and exciting and all those things.
Well, people love dance, don't they?
Yeah.
They love it. They love it.
And also, when you dance, I think what happens is a weird thing happens where you become sort of really close with one another, and you find, you know, you become really sexy. I didn't become sexy when I was dancing,
but
other people do become sexy, and so that's what happens. So hopefully this show sort of has like sex and fun.
I get asked to do Strictly every year, and the journalists say to me, what do you think about same sex dancing?
Yeah.
And I say no, and their eyes light up. They go, oh my God. And I go, no, because I will get a lob on if I don't. I will. Aliash Gorka. Oh my God. I will be so hard. I couldn't do it. I'm one of those people. I get on a bus and the vibration makes me hard.
Yeah, yeah. I thought this was
doing the Argentine tango. Forget it. That's a sexy dance.
Yeah. You know, when we were like, as I say, pretend like I don't do it anymore. But you know, we're like 14 and you're masturbating all the time.
Oh my God, yes!
It's like you're thrown into an environment where everyone's so sexy.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God, this is exciting.
Well, that's what the VTs have just been, me knocking one out in the room. Let's see what Alan's been up to today. Give me 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
No. That's what I can't. I'd love to do Strictly. I would love to do it, but I can't. But then also the VTs do my head in, like, that. Oh, I'm doing the rumba today, so let's go to Chester Zoo. And you're like, why the hell are we in Chester Zoo? But they stopped doing that with yours, didn't they? Because you needed to get on
with it. Well, they did one with us when I was with Karen, And they said, oh, we were dancing the American Smooth and I was coming down from a moon. And they said, oh, we'll go, what's it called? Where you have a big telescope and you look at the stars. What's that thing called?
Observatory.
Observatory.
Yes.
We went to the London Observatory. So smart, Alan.
No, thank you.
So smart. We went to the London Observatory and we were like, oh, God, does this put you in the zone to do this? I said, no, it doesn't.
No.
It's actually distracting me.
Yeah. You've got to get on with it.
But would you ever consider doing Strictly?
I would. I get asked every year. Tess Daly, she always mentions me, I'm the top one. But I feel with Bill Bailey, it's a game changer because I genuinely would like to be sexy. I would like to look sexy. I would like to wear the sheer outfits and the tight trousers. I don't want to be the joke, but I know I would be. But I thought with Bill, what a game changer, how brilliant he was.
So good.
He was funny, yet good. And you see, I don't want to just be a joke. I know I am a joke, but I don't want to be a joke on Strictly.
Yeah, but I think you'll do the opposite, Alan, because I think I think you'll go into thinking that and then actually do it differently. With me, I honestly went into it. They said, oh, Jamie, you got the cha-cha. And I was like, oh, all right, the cha-cha, whatever. And I started it after the first week, because you get 2 weeks' practice, I was like, I am professional. I was like, I'm going to have to bring this down a peg or two because it's going to be too much. And then, as soon as you go on stage, honestly, it's like, fuck, what is going on? And everything goes out the window.
Yeah.
And you just honestly look like you're trying to do... I was just moving anything I possibly could.
But everyone was so surprised with your tango, though.
Yeah.
And that chess move. I mean, I would have... Think of all the stuff to remember. I would have struggled with the chess moves.
Yeah, but then we had this thing with Karen, my partner. So she's so amazing, so driven. And the great thing about the dance, they're so passionate, right? And after the dance, I would always say to her, do you think it was, all that kind of stuff. And she was grumpy. And I was like, what the hell is she grumpy for? And then this lasted for another half an hour. And I was sitting with her and I was like, why are you so grumpy? What the hell's going on? And she said, I'm just pissed off. And I said, why are you pissed off? She said, I dropped one of the chess pieces. I said, you put me in turmoil for about half an hour because you knocked over a chess piece.
Oh,
they are so...
Karen, chill out.
Relaxed, Karen.
Karen, you're such a Karen. No, but that's good that they're passionate. I mean, I've done some things with Oti Mabuse and I love her because And she was a guest on Private Parts.
Yes, she
which
was.
Which I'm coming up on.
I know.
I talk about Interview of the Decade?
With who?
Inez.
Oh, my. So, Inez, if anyone's watched...
Even though I watched Married at First Sight, is it Inez or Inez?
I don't know. The whole way through, I had to keep going... Sorry, Inez. That and you've done so many interviews, you know, your show. I my biggest fear is forgetting their name, and I sometimes go, oh god, how do I pronounce it? So I think it's Inez, I don't really know, but we had her on. But then this Friday, we've got Jessica Power on, who is the other one, the blonde girl.
Oh, yeah,
and she, I mean, the show happened 2.5 years ago, so now they're just kind of coming out, and basically they obviously were under some sort of thing where they couldn't say anything.
Embargo.
Yeah, and now they've come out and gone, well, at the end of that, we're just going to say anything.
We've got to talk about Inez as well, because, you know, I couldn't take my eyes off it, and I was basically wishing my life away watching it. I couldn't... But, you know, she complains about the editing in it, and I get that, but she did have that look, and she did say those things.
Yeah,
get that eye ring out. She was
terrible.
We're all edited weird and wrong.
I
mean, obviously Made in Chelsea, there's stuff and things. We go, oh, you've put that in, really? But with her, I mean, she must have said those things.
I think...
What do you reckon's the real deal with that?
I think what happens is with these shows, right, is that you go onto a TV show, like a reality show, and you're seen how you are, but the volume's turned up. So if you're kind of loud, you're then overly loud. If you cheat, you then it's really bad and things like that. But I had Jessica Powers on this week, and she said she had dated this guy called Mick. And Mick, oh, this is awful. She told me this. I laughed when she told me because it's so bad. Mick wanted to have sex because they're married, right? Mm. And if you haven't seen Married at First Sight, they're married straight away. They meet on their wedding day. Mick, Mick wanted to sleep with her. She was saying, look, I don't think we're ready, And then Mick once slapped her on the bum. And she said, oh, Mick, how horny are you? He turned to her, sniffed, and said, dog's got to eat.
Oh.
most hideous saying I've ever heard. And when she told me that, I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Now, mix the one, the farmer.
Yeah, he's the farmer. And then when apparently they kissed for the first time, he kissed her and then pushed her on the bed and drooled on her because he was so excited.
Oh, God. Because it's awful. Women were complaining that the men were talking about sex. Hello, yeah. That's what men do. I'm not, you know me, Butch, when I'm in the locker room chatting with my jock friends, we talk about pussy. No, but that's what men are like. And women are bloody talking. They're all talking about women's sizes and everything. Don't make out they're having...
I think what happens
cross stitch and fucking shopping. Bullshit.
I think what happens is the producers come in. And they'll say, oh, you probably need to fight this or say something against it and stuff like that. And so I understand that. I think saying dog's got to eat is a really, that's pretty hideous. I remember,
yeah, no knickers are dropping when you hear that, are they? You smooth talking bastard.
I remember when, I don't know, maybe because I grew up with sisters. I don't know, I'm really sort of protective. And I'm not trying to sound sort of all like, but I protect over women. And I remember this time in Ibiza when there was these three guys who were looking at the dance floor, and I was standing sort of in, and these guys, you know, they had sort of their tops off and they were, you know, ripped and all these different things. And I was sort of watching them. And they looked at each other, they clapped their hands and went, oh, talking, boys. And I was like, it really put me off my Ibiza trip. It was the first night, it got ruined. I wanted to say something, saying, what are you. Excuse me. You're terrible.
Oh, no.
Guys can be awful.
I know. But that show is brilliant. It was just, what a weird concept as well. So strange.
But also just getting married as soon as you meet someone. I just think the whole thing is just bizarre.
And then there's a lovely success story. There's the one who was short. He was worried about being short, the cricketer, weren't he?
Oh,
with the flamer one. Spoiler alert, but I think they've got a kid now. They really worked, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it does sometimes... work. Yeah. I just don't know being...
But Aussies are like that. I worked in Australia for 6 months in this office and they were just like, you know that woman upstairs with the flat shoes, the crew cut hair, she's a lezzo. Because they just stick O on the L, lezzo. I think it's the accent. You sort of go...
This is your captain speaking. The seatbelt sign is now on. Hold on to your hat.
Now, listen, I've done a little bit of research because this is obviously a travel podcast. Mm. Now, me and you, you've been somewhere that I thought was absolutely amazing. And I know you've been there as well. Iguazu Falls.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I've never, ever met anyone who's been there. For those you don't know, it's this massive waterfall. It's not on the border of Argentina and Brazil. And it all goes into this thing called the Devil's Throw. Isn't it amazing? I think about it all the time.
Oh, my God, Alan, that's so funny. You're the only other person I've met who's gone there. It's on the border of Argentina and Brazil. And I remember I was there when I was 19 years old travelling. And I remember looking at it and going, God, if God exists, this is what he's created.
Yes.
It is so beautiful and amazing.
And the noise of the water.
Yeah, and I remember we were backpacking. I remember it so well because I take these sort of snapshots of my life, right, where I sort of go, oh, that was a really happy moment or a really good moment. So I remember it in my mind like a sort of picture. And there was this moment where we just finished Iguazu Falls and we were sitting at the bus stop and I was sitting with all of my friends, there's about 8 of us, and I remember thinking, God, I'm just so happy. And every single time people go, oh, when were you the happiest? I go, I think then. It was just this amazing moment. It was so beautiful. And anyone who wants to go there, don't go and then take the bus to Rio because it takes 24 hours and the aircon is so cold that I had to go and sit in the loo because it was the only warm place. But the place is just amazing.
Because that's the thing with South America. It's bus, bus, bus.
Yeah.
Mexico, you don't fly. You get 24-hour bus. I mean, when you're younger, you can sort of imagine, can I be on a fucking bus now for 24 hours? And then you stop and then you have a wee and then you go on for another 48 hours. It's insane.
It's insane. But also... back when we were probably doing it, we just had books. We just had a book to read.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing else.
You had like a Heat magazine. And then like, once you got to the end of it, you started reading it again.
Yeah. And then you would do the Sudoku halfway through.
Yeah, because you were that bored. The thing is with Iguazu, I mean, you know, I'm obviously butterflies and everything. I've never seen birds like it. They hover around you and the butterflies fly around you and they are the most amazing colours. I mean, we have shit butterflies over here, but over there they're massive, they're purple, they're neon.
Yeah, yeah. You have everything, and exactly, the birds, the creatures, everything about it. And as you said, it's the noise, and also it's bridges over these waterfalls. It's like, it's so, you realise how powerful water is as well. It's the most beautiful place I have ever seen.
Yeah.
I think, and just amazing. And also, you know, when you're 18, 19, you don't really care about things like that. You know, you just want to go and have a drink or try and kiss someone, right? That's pretty much all you care about.
Hello, I'm still like that now.
Yes, I think we all are. But at Iguazu Falls, you were kind of captured for a moment where you're like, wow, this is pretty spectacular.
You talk about kissing there.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your first ever holidays.
Okay.
Holiday romance. Did you ever fall in love with someone there, a waitress in a bar or anything like this, or what?
I fell in love. I fell in love on two holidays. I fell in love on my first ever proper kiss was my first ever proper kiss was on a boat in Turkey. We were on this like big wooden boat, and we're going around Turkey with the family, and we had some friends come over, and the girl there was a girl called Tash, and she was older than me. And we ended up snogging on the deck under the stars. And I thought, well, this is what life is about. I was like, every movie coming together at once. Little did I realize it wasn't going to be after that. It was just pretty seedy. This one moment was just amazing. And I remember, I honestly remember going back to school afterwards. But the thing is, I must have been 12 years old. I think I was 12, 11, 12.
Did you let it go, though? Or did you think, there could be a chance I want to go back to Turkey? Or was you quite like, cause you know, some people fall in love and, I want to go back there. But was you all right? Did you let it down gently?
I actually felt so much in love. But the problem is, I'm like 5'8", 5'9" on a good day. So back then, I was like 5'2". She was nearly 6 foot. I mean,
oh my God.
I remember her being, because she was like a gin. She was so much taller than me and all these different things. But also, falling in love on a holiday, there is nothing better than doing that. It's the most amazing. Problem is, then you come back to the UK and you go, was I really in love? I don't know if I was quite in love. But Turkey's an amazing place. If you ever go to Turkey, it's incredible because the weather's good, the food's good, you can go swimming.
And I know it's a bloody cliche, but it does feel, you know, when they say East meets West, it does feel like that, doesn't it? Did you go to the, what's the place in Istanbul, all the dodgy handbags and trainers and stuff? Oh my God, 24 football pitches. That's how big that market is. Did you ever go there? Oh, you can afford the real stuff, I bet. How many bloody candy kittens have you sold? Yeah, there's me hovering around there bargaining. Oh, please.
Bargaining? Well, you're begging on the streets.
Maybe that's an exaggeration.
Begging on the streets of Istanbul.
Please, for these dodgy trainers. No, but I mean, did you ever go there? They've got everything there.
Yeah, they have everything there. And when you're younger, you could buy, like, Oakleys were really cool when we were younger. Sunglasses?
Oakleys,
we used to go and buy, like, Oakleys and handbags and all those different things. But I think my mum was as obsessed with it because she could go and buy rugs there. I think that's where you go and buy rugs.
Yeah, I bought a rug there. And they're not that cheap.
But how else would you carry it? How do you...
And you never think they're going to turn up to the house because you say, they go, let me give you... Can I have your address? And you're like, there's no way I'm seeing this rug again. But it does turn up.
Did you get it sent over?
But actually, and then he did this weird thing with this rug. He burnt it with a flamethrower. No, what's it called? Not a flamethrower. What's the smaller one?
A lighter.
Lighter like this, and it didn't burn. And then he threw like some ink on it and it washed off.
And so you bought it?
I bought it. I mean, this is amazing. This rug, all it needed is a fucking fly, and I'd be like, woohoo, it's a magic carpet. Then I come over here, one glass of red wine, can I get it out? No. He's lied to me. This rug is well dodgy.
It's because you were begging on the street.
I know. I said, please.
Because you didn't pay for it.
No, when I'm not begging, I said, there's a market you can go to. You are making out. Oh. No, I'm joking.
Oh, God. Please be careful when opening the overhead lockers that your oriental rug hasn't moved during the flight.
I looked into getting a hair transplant.
Everyone in Turkey walk around with bandages on their heads.
Yeah, yeah. And I just saw one poor guy who came back from Turkey and he looked like someone had drawn a Lego head on him. his hairline had come down to his eyebrows.
Oh, God. Someone I know had their hair, their transfer there, but they took the bottom bit there and put it on the top.
Yeah.
But you see, his bits round there, his normal hair have gone grey, but that bit, the bit at the back doesn't go grey. So it's like
a moustache at the front.
It's like, yeah, it's just like, yeah, jet black comb over with grey bits underneath. And then, yeah, it's so weird because you walk around and everyone's covered in bandages.
Yeah.
And then they've got the turkey teeth and they've got the massive teeth.
Yeah, they do all of it.
Everyone's got rushes.
And then you can now get beards and things like that. You can get your beard done.
Really? I need to. I mean, you're blonde.
Yeah, but I can't get a beard.
I can't get a beard either because I've got no testosterone. Because people say you can do it in like Movember. I mean, I have to start in April. If I'm doing,
because I have no testosterone.
I have no testosterone. I tried to buy some in that Turkish market.
And so you got a rug instead.
Yeah, I bought a rug. So yeah, anyway. God. So what kind of a traveller are you? Are you quite prepared? Have you ever turned up and not had your passport or you forgot?
Oh my God, I had the worst time I ever had was when, I think I'm pretty prepared normally, but the worst time I was going to go flying to see my friends in France, and I was having an argument with my girlfriend at the time, and I missed the flight, so then I rebooked the flight, to the wrong place and on the wrong day, so I had to rebook it again, and then went all the way to the airport to go and to get the flight, arrived and I had taken my girlfriend's passport. So I missed out and then got all the way back and then my passport had gone. I still think my girlfriend has stolen it. I still think because she didn't want me to go so badly that she had taken it. Yeah. So that's the only time that I've been kind of bad with flights. But apart from that, I feel like I'm okay.
Now, there's going to be people listening going, yeah, bloody maid in Chelsea, yeah. What's he got to do with us? Yeah, I bet he don't know.
Why are they in a group outside? chanting outside my house.
Burn him. Leave him alone. He's lovely. No, there's going to be people thinking, oh, he's made in Chelsea.
I know.
He don't know what's like a real holiday. Surprise us with a holiday you've been on that people go, oh, he's just like one of us. God bless him.
Sardinia.
Sardinia's all right.
No, it's
Sardinia. But listen, I've lost touch with reality as well. I don't know. I mean, have you been Benidorm, Magaluf, Shagamuff?
I've been to Zante. I've done Zante.
That's all right. Yeah. Yes.
I've done. Sounds like I'm winning a prize.
Yeah. Sounds like charity work. I've been to Zante. Is that okay? No, I'm not trying to throw you under a bus. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, people all think, but you know,
I've done Zante. I've done San Antonio in Ibiza, which is kind of known as the sort of...
God, yeah. That,
but also for me, San Antonio was just a bit scary. It's terrifying. Everyone's sort of just, there's
people
and that.
Pissing in doorways. Yeah, you know, just like you're walking along and there's a woman like pulling her bikini bottoms in and they're just pissing. It's like disgusting.
And they're always British.
I know.
It's not good. But apart from that, where else have I done... I've never done
What about in England? Do you Cornwall, Devon?
Did Cornwall. We did. I used to go to Damer Bay, but that's when I was younger. Mm. But then we always used to go up north. We used to go to an island called the Isle of Mull.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Which was really nice. And it's an island off Mull. I mean, off Scotland.
Oh, thanks for this little insight. Spoiler alert.
I don't know why. Trying to make it sound so glamorous.
No, but I've been up that neck of the woods doing stand-up comedy. Mm. And it does have its little... I know this is another cliche, but it does have its weird climate, doesn't it? Some days it was like being abroad. Lovely.
It's lovely. And it was so nice. And also it's where all of my family used to go. And we used to go and, you know, swim in this thing called the Burn and go in like this thing called the Bog and go climbing in the hills. And so that was... But we never did Butland. We used to go and do Club Med. That's what we used to do, Club Med, which was kind of like, I think it's Club Med quite posh, but actually Club Med, this is a, and Club Med was where a guy bought me my first ever porn mag. And I was 8 years old.
No!
It was really exciting.
Wow, yeah. Northampton, you'd have to go to bushes and, like, you know, in hedges and stuff to find porn.
Yeah, so that was really exciting. So we didn't do Butlins or anything like that, but we used to go to Mull or we used to go to Club Med, which was abroad. That's what
we
used to do.
Lovely, lovely. What are you like for delicacies and stuff? Have you eaten anything?
I've eaten pigeon brain in Hong Kong, which is weird. Like, they eat pigeon in Hong Kong.
They eat everything in Hong Kong, I bet.
Yeah, but also the pigeons in Hong Kong aren't, I don't think they're that clean, but we had to eat pigeon brain. Yeah, which is...
Why the brain? I mean, listen, the thought of eating a pigeon makes me vomit, but maybe a bit of pigeon breast I could maybe do if it was like a nice thick sauce, but the brain?
Yeah, that was weird.
I'm assuming that's quite a small dish. Because they are thick as shit, aren't they?
But also the worst thing about it, I don't really like... I eat meat, but I don't really like hurting animals. And this pigeon wasn't alive, but this pigeon... The way you get to the brain, and this is really hard, you have to break open the beaks open and open it that way. So it's a pretty horrific scenario. It's really bad. And then also, when I went to... I was in Hong Kong again, and I heard that some king did this as well, but it happened to me. I landed in Hong...
This happened to a king and me. Right, you really built up this story. Come on, Jamie.
It's where I was in Hong Kong, and I was doing a job out there with the sort of equivalent of the tube. And I think they just thought that I was Western and they saw me on YouTube, so they thought I was a presenter. So I arrived out there and they said, "Oh, are you action?" I was like, "Oh, not really." Didn't really know how to explain it. Sort of reality, I don't really know. And then I was so nervous and so hot, and they were eating all this food, and I saw a bowl in front of me. So I started drinking from the bowl, and they looked at me, and the guy was using it as his finger bowl.
Oh, no.
I was drinking from it. Hong Kong finger bowl water.
What is it with Hong Kong? I've never been there. Mm. Everyone I know who's been there says it's amazing to go. But when I put in Google Images, it looks a bit like a dump.
Yeah, it's
quite built up, and that's really not really my skyscraper. But everyone goes, oh, my God, you've got to go to Hong Kong. What is it about Hong Kong?
Hong Kong is really fun because it's super built up. It's amazing. It's like cultures are, like, clashing there. So there's all different types of food that you can try.
So it's a bit like Istanbul almost, would you say?
Yeah, without the rugs.
Stop mentioning that rug.
And so it's built up, there's food, you can go on the water there. It's the most fast-paced place I've ever been.
Yeah.
Everyone is just going 100 miles an hour. And it's just...
What's the nightlife like?
Amazing, yeah.
Really?
If you want to go and sort of party and drink and have fun, Hong Kong is sort of... But it's just far. It's like 14 hours. But also, Alan...
It's a long way to go for a party and a drink.
I know. But also, for me, I don't really... If I'm going to go on holiday, I don't really like going to cities. Is that bad?
No, that's good.
Is that good?
Well, that's... You do what you want, love. There's no wrong or right answer. Don't look to me. I'm a holiday police.
I was looking to you for support.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, I like to mix it up. I like a little bit. That's why I like Bangkok, because we go there and we go around the markets and all that and have a bit of a drink, and then we like to go to some of the islands and the beaches, so you have a mix.
Mixed report.
Yeah, I don't just like being stuck in a...
City.
No, it does my head in.
Chicken, beef. Pigeon brain? Who ordered the pigeon brain? Pigeon brain?
What's this thing with Turks and Caicos?
Yeah.
Everyone I know who's been there, he sounds so exclusive. A friend of mine had dinner with Prince and Dustin Hoffman in Turks and Caicos. Is it as exclusive as you say? Because you've been there, haven't you? You've been there.
Yeah.
Is it amazing?
It's amazing. But when I was... We had my grandfather, we used to call him Grand Turk, because he went to the Turks and Caicos Islands, and he lived there. So we used to go over to him to a place called Grand Turk, and so we were there all the time. But this must have been 25, 26 years ago.
Do you know who was governor at Turks and Caicos?
Oh, yeah, who?
Judge Rinder.
Was he?
Yes.
No.
Apparently, bumming was illegal there. And then he said he made, what's it called? Being gay. He made being gay legal. What a lovely thing to do.
Was Judge Rinder, he was governor of the Turks and Caicos.
I'm sort of paraphrasing. He was something there.
That is so...
Should you have a little look? Let me look. Wait then. This is proper. Don't stop it. Let me... This is
that is so... If he is, that
Google.
Is so interesting because we always used to... The governor was like the biggest thing in the Turks and Caicos Islands.
Yeah, look, I'll put it in now. Rob Rinder, Turks and Caicos. Yeah. He sorted out bribery, corruption and fraud in the British Overseas Territory of Turks and Caicos. Oh so my... he might have been there. I mean, I don't know what that means, but he had the best time.
Yeah, it was... It is amazing. And it's also one of these places where... So he would have... I think it was quite corrupt and it was kind of... Because it's sort of island sort of mentality, right? So everyone knows everyone. So I think it's a bit corrupt in that way. But we used to go there, and it was just this amazing place where the beaches were so white. There was like blue water.
Yeah.
No one was on them. There was hardly anyone living there. So it was just kind of free space. We could run on the beach all day, not worrying about anything. And we look back now, that would never... I'm sure now it must have boats going past and things like that. And
I remember you got it at the right time.
Yeah, I remember this one. I remember this one time because they were... I must have been about 15, and I was running down the beach. I was on a run. I don't know why I was on a run at 15. And they were doing like a model shoot there, at Victoria's Secret. It must have been Victoria's Secret. This like glamorous person.
You must have thought you died and gone to heaven, didn't you?
I did, and I ran past them. And in my 15-year-old head, I thought, they're going to need a male model.
So I
went, they're going to ask me. So I turned around and me at 4'4", walking past them, I thought, this is the moment they're going to ask me to be the male model. And then I walked past and obviously nothing happened. That happened there. I remember it so well. And then there was another time in Turks and Caicos where everything bad happened to me there. I walked down to the beach and there were these really good-looking girls on the beach. And I thought, oh, this girl, I was wearing my brand new sunglasses. And I sort of walked past...
Oakley?
Probably Oakley that I got from Istanbul.
I was sunbathing on my rug. And...
so hot. They were on the beach and I sort of looked and walked past and, oh, this is cool. Brand new sunglasses. And I dove into the water. And as I did, my sunglasses went off my head and disappeared. And I was so embarrassed. I had to swim so far out and all the way around so they wouldn't see me come out with no sunglasses on.
And you know, because they're the real thing, but if they were fake, oh, they would have stayed glued to your head because fake sunglasses always do that. But when you get the proper ones, phew, off, next thing you know, they're in a dolphin's mouth. We've spoke to loads of people on here, and I always ask them the question, what's the most amazing hotel you've ever stayed at? Now, when we spoke to Robbie Williams, he was in, is it Switzerland, and the jacuzzi came out of his room. Out of the roof.
And flew away.
And flew away. Yeah, he realized he was on a UFO. No, and then I spoke to Michael McIntyre and he was at a hotel and Madonna on a horse came through into the courtyard. So what, now, obviously with our jobs, we spend a lot of time all over the place. When was the last time you were wowed by a hotel? And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything like that, but just something like...
Something amazing.
Yes, yeah, something like, oh, okay, might have been good service or something.
Yeah. I think for me, I went to the Maldives.
Yeah.
And I really loved the sea and the beaches and things like that. And waking up, I went to a place called Six Senses in Lamu. And you wake up there and you're on the water and turtles are swimming by. And that is pretty amazing. Mm. And you have you shower in the open, which is quite weird because people can see you. But it's all, hey, it's so free, whatever. Morning, everyone. And so you do that, and it is just, that was pretty special. Yeah. And you have like a sort of deck, and you have a sort of infinity pool out the back, and that was amazing.
I love an infinity pool. That's nice. But
why?
Well, you're skinny, but I mean, it's always embarrassing when you get an infinity pool and you hear the amount of water that comes over the end of the infinity pool. And you're like, oh, I need to, you know, it's like, whoosh, like that. You're like, oh, shit.
Because you're acting like a dam.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, wow.
No, I didn't mean that.
Alan Carr, the human dam. Alan, can you please get out the pool? Other people want to have some water. The human dam.
Alan, can you get out the pool? Yeah. Also, they know you by name.
Yeah. You're back again, Alan. Thank you. there is no shallow end. Can you move? Jamie, you are so lovely and so sweet. Have you ever complained? Have you ever gone? I'm not saying I'm Jamie Lang. I'm not this. But have you ever said, come on, you're taking the piss? Don't have to be at the hotel. It can be on a flight. Has anyone taken the piss? I mean, hotel rooms. I mean, for our honeymoon, we stayed at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Now, this is before he started that Sultan of Brunei. Don't start sending me complaints. Do you remember he said that gays should be stoned?
Yeah.
And we stopped going there now. So listen, right on and all that, my love. But before he kicked off, we stayed there and they gave us this room and it was over the bins. And that was, it was shit. It was shit. Yeah. Over the bins?
Yeah,
It was our honeymoon. Yeah, and that's not sexy. That was shit. So we complain. Have you ever complained?
How can I, how do you complain when you do complain?
I get Paul to complain.
Yes,
because my Paul, he goes in there and he just says it. Yeah, he just says it. And then I know, because I'm so scared, I hide in the room. He goes, and I know he's saying, Alan Carr will not put up. I know he uses me because I'm the one who gets the dirty looks the next day as I'm walking down the corridor in the chambermaid giving me dirty looks. Alan Carr will never. I know he does that, but he is good for getting upgrades and stuff. I don't want an upgrade because I'm Alan Carr. I just don't. On my honeymoon, I don't want to see a couple of wheelie bins and a bin bag full of soiled towels. Does that make me a bridezilla?
No, that doesn't at all. That makes you so right. I'm the same as you, and I can't complain, but
I
get other people to do the dirty work. And then what happens is, let's say you've asked for a change of room. Someone else has complained for you, like my girlfriend, and then they come up and say, oh, sorry, sir, I hear that you're upset with the room. And I go, am I? No, I quite like it. Oh, are we moving on?
Oh, no. And then you undo all the work.
I sort of go, oh, what? Listen, I don't want to be any... If she's complained, okay, we can move. I don't get
it. I love it. And then your poor partner sorts it out, and then you just make them look like an arsehole for getting... Paul, I love this. I love this wheelie bin. I'm having a photo with it now. Happy honeymoon.
And then when you go to reception next day and she walks ahead of you, look at the reception and go, oh, crazy.
What is she like?
I'm not very good at complaining. I don't know why, though, because there's a simple thing. If you paid for something and it's not good, whether it's food or rooms or a flight, surely you should be able to complain, but I just can't. I can't do it.
I know.
I hate it for some reason. Mm. I think I can get pushed to the edge. I can sometimes get pushed to it where I'm now I'm irritated. Yeah. But actually, I can be pushed pretty. Yeah. It takes me a long time. I remember the one flight that I went on, which was really bad. This isn't complaining, but it wasn't complaining at all. But we got to it, and they said, oh, would you like to be upgraded? Because we got... And I said, oh, my God, this is amazing. And so we got upgraded to first class. And I was like, this is amazing. We got on the flight, and the only other person in the entire cabin was this other couple and their kids. And I sort of took no notice. And I was like, this was honestly my first time ever in first class. And I was like, this is pretty amazing. So I went to the bathroom, came out of the bathroom, and this little... kid ran past me. I said, I recognise that little kid. And I looked up at the mum and I recognised him and looked at the dad, and it was my ex-girlfriend's parents. And it was the worst. It was horrendous. So I couldn't say anything, couldn't do anything. So all I had to do was I had to keep my hat down and my hood up because I couldn't bear the thought. And they obviously saw me. And so we just couldn't do the whole thing. So my whole first class experience was ruined.
Oh no.
I didn't complain, but I should.
Yeah, can I go back? Can I go back to economy? Thank you. I don't like it up here. Are you quite a nice traveller? You are really sweet. I was going to say you seem to be. You are really sweet. But are you... Let's see if we get nasty Jamie here.
Yeah.
On like, say, a flight for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Will you still put the seat back for a kid, or will you think about the people behind?
See, I still to this day, I don't understand how people have the confidence to do that. How do people have the confidence to sit in the chair and then go back?
I feel like you're not going to have a sleep. It's only an hour and a half.
I know. I still get embarrassed. The worst, my worst fear is being on a flight. a long-haul flight next to the window when there's two strangers next to you, because how do you get out for a pee? Oh, that is just...
I'd rather do it in a cup.
Yeah, so would I.
I'd rather just piss in a cup so I don't disturb them. And if I get arrested at the other end for exposure, I don't care. They've had a lovely sleep.
I know. And you're like, I just couldn't bear upsetting someone else.
I know. I hate that.
Can passengers please refrain from weeing in the cutlery? Thank you.
We're just about to land, Jamie, so we've just got time for a quick fire round. Okay, factor 50 or chip fat?
Chip fat.
Swimming with dolphins or slut dropping with hoes?
Swimming with dolphins.
Right answer. Nudist or not on your Nelly? Do you know what? You look like the kind of person, I think, who would skinny dip.
Yeah, I love it. I knew it. Yeah, I think it's great.
Sober or pissed? I do it pissed.
I think I'd be a bit pissed. I could piss. Yeah. It's all going like one Velcro.
Mint tea or mojito?
Mojito.
Desert or ocean? This is quite deep.
Ooh.
You see that? These questions aren't as shallow as I make out they are. They're quite...
Yeah. I would go for ocean.
Okay. Travel insurance or take your chances?
Take your chances.
Ooh, reckless. Yeah. Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
Taxi or tuk-tuk?
Taxi.
Tip 'em or fuck 'em? That's like, you know, when you're on holiday and you think, oh, I'll give them a tip, and then you go, oh, I'll never see them again. I am the tip 'em, I tip. Yeah. No, there are people who go, I'm not giving them anything. Fuck 'em. I'll never see them again.
Yeah, I think I tip.
You're tip. And honeymoon suite or hammock?
Ooh, honeymoon suite.
No one's ever said hammock yet. Don't worry, Jamie.
I tried to pretend I was umming and ahhing over that one. Yeah. Ooh, hammock sounds lovely.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Thank you so much. I can't wait
to come on Private Parts.
I can't wait. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Thanks, Jamie. My cheeks are hurting. I've just been smiling all the way through this. You're an absolute tonic. Thank you. If you want to support our podcast, please hit the subscribe button below. And don't bother unpacking, because we're going away next week.